We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Your one-stop shop for sports talk.
I get my sports information. Sports.
Sports.
The Weekend Rocks with Butch and
Evan Dryick.
Whether it's Pats, Sox, B's, or C's, Butch Stearns and
Evan Dryick
put it all on the table, and they let you air it all out as well. So let's get to it. Here's Butch and
Evan Dryick
on Sports Radio WEEI.
So you're taking my advice, Evan? When this song came on the last time, I told you the best line in this whole song is, Badlands, you got to live it every day. Have you been living it every day?
Oh, I've been living it, Butch. I've been living every bit of it every day.
You look better than the last time I saw you. The last time I saw you, you were disheveled. That's the way I'll put it.
Yeah, well, I've showered. I thought that we established so much in our...
One or two since the last time I saw you? It's been about 2 weeks.
It could even be for...
Really?
I don't want to get ahead of myself.
It's not spring yet.
I know, but I'm getting ready for spring.
Okay.
We've got the clocks changed. I mean, this is close to spring as we'll get.
Yeah, but this is what I'm confused about. So my watch, I changed all my clocks, but not my watch. So my watch says 2:03, 2:04 now. The clock in front of me says 4:04.
It's a crazy
world. So I'm just
going to
take the average and say that it's 3:04 in the middle of those.
There's always a chance on a day like this that you end up missing. Your phone changes, but you don't always change your alarm clock. You don't change something in the house. So you're looking at one clock and you don't realize it, and then bam. You've missed.
Well, isn't this another one of those things that, I mean, I'm a lot older than you, but my kids' generation, my oldest daughter's 22. She's graduating from Cal State Fullerton May 19th. But her whole generation, they don't have to change. I sound like the old man walking uphill both ways to school, you know, but they don't have to change. You wake up and your iPhone or your Droid has the new time on it, you know?
Well, threw my girlfriend off this morning and threw me off briefly. You've got the...
Was somebody else in bed with us? That threw you a little off, didn't it? Honey, who's this?
The kitchen.
Ned.
My girlfriend woke up with just me in bed and cooked a wonderful breakfast. And the stove clock was different than...
Aha! Uh-huh.
So she didn't understand why I was rushing out of the house. But see, so even with the in the age of the smartphones, for the use today, you still have the microwave, the stove. I have an alarm clock from like the 90s I still use, so... It's something people still have to watch, Butch. Don't give the new generation too much credit.
Yeah, they do. I'm just saying, they're, you know, it's like, try to get someone from my daughter's generation, try to give them old school directions. Forget it. Just because they've grown up on GPS.
On a map? Yeah.
Well, map? Are you kidding me? Every single car I owned had that big map book of every city, and you'd look at it to get places. Now it's like, well, you go down JFK Boulevard, and you take a left. What?
I've already tuned you out, yeah.
Right,
but,
right.
But what is the point? Why would I bother trying to memorize? My father still does this to me. He will tell me, he'll sometimes text it to me or just tell me on the phone, like, Dad, just give me the address.
Right.
That's it. I don't need any more than that.
In my generation, you used to get these kind of directions. So you take a right and you go down to where the Stop and Shop used to be, and then you go.
But you can't remember that. And you couldn't remember
No, you could. You learned. You learn the hard way. Now it's like, how many times, it's at least once a year, maybe every 6 months, where there's a news story where a woman takes a right into a pond because her GPS told her to do that. And then this fire truck, the fire department is pulling her truck out of, a car out of the water. And she's like, why did you take a right into the pond? Because that's what my GPS said to do.
Do we ever get the follow-up? Do we ever know if it's actually the GPS's fault? It's like Kyrie Irving blaming the media for tearing apart a locker room.
Sports segue. Sports segue right there.
It's easy. It's easy to blame the media. It's easy to blame the GPS. But, you know, you might have just made the wrong right turn yourself, lady following the GPS.
For the 7 or 8 potential new employers of yours out there, what's going on with your job search?
Things are heating up a little bit.
Ooh.
Things are getting interesting.
What does that mean? Don't tease us like that.
Well, I don't have anything to announce at this point. But
have you gotten an offer?
Have I gotten an offer?
Have you had any interviews?
No, but I have an interview scheduled, at least one.
You gonna shave completely?
You think I should? I think I might let the beard.
Well, it depends on where the interview is. Is it new age? Is it digital? Is it?
Do you think that matters?
Well, if it's digital, do it by Skype. Can I do the interview on Skype? Shake hands over Skype.
Do you believe in paying your own way doing an interview if you had to?
It's funny you say that. In 1993, okay, I was 33 years old. Do the math. I'm 59 now. In 1993, I took a job interview in Rochester, Minnesota. Again, I had been out of college for 10 years. A lot had gone on in my life, but it was my first full-time offer. It was about to be in the TV business. It was KAA-TV in Rochester, Minnesota. So it had everything I wanted except where it was. I was going from covering Larry Bird on a daily basis to covering high school sports. But it was one of those leaps I had to make if I was going to do it. So the deal was you fly yourself out here and you pay all your own expenses. And if you get the job, we reimburse.
This is one of the bigger problems in the industry today is that it forces people to, if you can afford to do that, great. You can have the job. And if you can't afford to do that, well.
Well, I would say what it does, what it did for me was make me realize. It sort of made me ask an important question before I went out there. Well, why don't I do a little homework? Am I going to accept this job? Because if I'm just taking the interview to take the interview, what's the point? Right? Mm-hmm. And then I realized, yeah, I looked closer at it. So I think you got to ask yourself the same question. If it's going to cost you to take this interview, what is the job?
Make sure you know something about the girl before you put the ring on the finger.
Well, but you never know until you know. My point is, though, you have an idea.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Because if you're not going to take it, like if you do some homework and find out they're going to offer you $7.50 an hour,
that's better than EEI, right?
So you got some things quote unquote heating up.
Things are heating up a little bit, yeah.
Bradford will have the headline on WEEI.com. Evan Drake heating up.
That's right. That might in fact be the headline.
Good luck.
Thank
so
you,
that
please.
Was my good buddy Susan Tran.
Yeah,
the parade coverage calling you Evan Drake.
Yep, that was back when I was a TV guy during the World Series parade, and she just had a moment where she missed my name, and we miss names all the time. But
had you ever worked with her before? Did you know Susan?
No, but
Susan's
the,
awesome.
The fine folks here, you know, namely Chris Curtis and Ken Laird, were rolling on every word that was said as Susan and I gave you breathless coverage of the Red Sox World Series parade, and now Susan has been immortalized along with me for that parade.
617-779-7937. Come on, you know the numbers. It's out there, 617-779-7937. If you'd like to chime in, we'll be here till 6 o'clock. Butch Stearns, Evan Drellick, John Anderson taking your calls. We got everything on the table. Celtics, Bruins couldn't be hotter. Both teams, Bruins, of course, going for their 20th game in a row with a point. It's pretty amazing. Their franchise record, it goes back to the 40s, is 23 games in a row. So there's lots to talk about with them. Celtics have found their mojo, or have they? Do they need to win on Monday? If they do sweep this trip, is Monday's game less significant? Is it more important how they play when they come back home? Yada, yada, yada. We got that. But I'd like to start, Evan, with NFL free agency and the Patriots. I have a simple question. Do you personally, or anybody out there, do you want to go back to the well? Do you want the old guys back again? So they've traded, which, by the way, they haven't made it official yet, I don't think, with Michael Bennett, but it sounds official. I don't think they've made an announcement.
I don't know if I've seen a release or not.
They're not allowed to until free agency starts Wednesday.
But it's a trade. It's a trade. So, whatever. Let's assume it's a done deal. Michael Bennett is going to come here. Now Martellus Bennett says he wants to come out. Danny Amendola is available. Jamie Collins is available. Do you want them all back?
Well, Amendola, we'll be back. 1,000%. You heard
I'm not
it.
So sure about that.
Everybody had that gut reaction. Why wouldn't he be back? Isn't that every single person who saw it? Oh, automatic. He's coming back to New England.
Well,
it'll be done tomorrow.
I can guarantee you that the moment Brian Flores put him on the chopping block and he got his $6 million guaranteed, he got what he wanted. He went there only for 1 year, but he got $6 million guaranteed. So he got that. That Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, possibly Gronk, and Amendola were all in a group text right after that. So they're trying to get their old buddy back.
And Brian Flores knows as well as anybody that this is a possibility.
I think Flores would have loved to have had him, but I think Flores learned all too well from Belichick, only at a certain price. So the answer is, I think Amendola will come back because I think it will take less money, but he's going to wait and test free agency. I can guarantee you that. I know Danny pretty well. I ran into him down a Super Bowl by chance, and he kept telling me, I got a lot to say. And he wouldn't, but he wouldn't
so
go
on. So you were trying to get an interview with him?
Yeah, and he wouldn't go on camera. I'm like, come on. He had a marketing girl with him. He was about to do Radio Row the next day, and she wouldn't let him talk. I'm like, Danny, give me a break. But in hindsight, I mean, he didn't shoot his way out of town with Mike Reese, despite that backseat interview he did. Play some of that. He really didn't say anything damning.
Did you sense that hurt the players?
Yeah, I did, honestly. I didn't. Nobody really got an explanation for it. You know, he's a brother of ours. He was a brother of ours that year, and you know, I hate to see a guy who worked so hard throughout the season not get a chance to play in the biggest game of the year for, and really get no explanation for it. So, with that said, I don't know how you know the business aspect went into that decision. I don't know how the personal aspect went into that decision between him and Bill, but you know, as a friend, you know, I would have loved to see him out on that field that day.
So you're taught, it's the Stepford Wives, it's burned into your brain when you come into Foxborough, whether you're drafted, undrafted, traded here or whatever. You don't speak about other players. You speak about yourself and you speak about the team. You don't speak for anybody else. So in that sense, he broke one of the cardinal rules of the Belichickian philosophy down there. But did he? Did he say anything right there or in that interview that Belichick's going to say, yo, you're done. You're out of the family now?
I think, Butch, you might know where I stand on this at this point, but I think people should be making more and more comments like that. Anybody who's listening to Danny Amendola or any of these players who make what we believe to be an honest assessment about the team, and go, how dare he say that? And enough with the pearl clutching. You know, and you heard him. You it's totally understandable. He's defending his quote-unquote brother. He's talking about how he felt about a decision that everybody was talking about.
It's not how they do stuff in
Foxborough. We're so trained to look at it through the lens of, well, what Bill Belichick wants must be what's right. No. I'm sorry. The guy's won a lot of championships. That doesn't mean that every view and every tactic he takes is necessary.
And it's not the only way to win.
Exactly.
Agreed. And we don't like it. But the bottom line is, again, I'm asking you, we're talking about whether Danny Amendola is going to come back. So in your opinion, if you're Belichick, if you're the decision makers, and it's Belichick and everybody else down there in Foxborough, did he go against the family? Did he do something so egregious?
Probably a little bit.
I doubt it.
A little. He went against the family, but I don't think enough that he can't be forgiven.
Right.
Two kisses on the cheek, you come back home, that's it, no problem.
And especially if he's willing to drink the Kool-Aid and take the money that he swallowed hard for a long time. Don't cry for Danny. I mean, if you remember, he signed a big free agent contract. He was going to replace Wes Welker. And then some seventh-round draft pick named Julian Edelman outplayed him. He got hurt. By that second year, Edelman became the replacement, and Amendola had to restructure. Again, don't cry for him, but he had had enough. He was not... You know, the decision, the Patriots gave him nowhere near an offer that the Dolphins did last year. That was a no-brainer for him.
Here's the thing that bugs me about this Patriots fan mentality, that everyone who's left can come back and be a great contributor automatically, and that anyone who's brought in the fold is going to be... It's this entitlement. It's this...
From who?
From Patriots fans generally. Whether it's about free agency, about somebody returning, or about somebody they're just going to pick up off the scrap heap. It's this belief that whoever's brought in, once you've been a part of the Patriots family, know the Patriots system, of course you'll be able to come back and contribute at a higher level. It's cockiness. It's a little bit of a disconnect.
Isn't there a reason for it?
Sure, but that doesn't mean that every time somebody leaves.
Sorry, Danny from Quincy.
You can predict
six
this.
Parades.
You can predict this every offseason. Yeah. Every offseason, with every player who used to be on the team who becomes available. This is the same song and dance we're going to do until the end of time, until Tom, you know, and Tom Brady's retirement will be the end of time. That is the end of days. We know that that's the way it'll work.
Well, it'll be the end of Tom versus time, so it'll be, it'll be the end of time.
Exactly. We know that some of these guys will be able, Danny Amendola could come back and he could be good.
617-779-7937. Do you want the band back together? That's the question, Patriots fans. And if so, why? Your thoughts.
Do any of these Patriots fans actually look at it and go, you know what, there's a chance maybe this guy's done. Maybe this guy's washed up. Maybe there's a reason it's not working out down to South Florida.
Well,
maybe
he there's led a reason the Dolphins in receiving last year, yards.
Even if Amendola proves to be a case where there's a lot left, and if he returns to the system can get the most out of him and blah, 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 fine. It's I'm just more speaking to this mindset the Patriots fandom has, that anybody who comes free, who used to be a part of this organization, well, automatically, if he can return here, we'll make him great again. Why? Because he'll be part of the Patriots' way. And everybody knows it's greater than every other way. It's impossible that somebody could exist elsewhere besides the Patriots' way.
Well, that argument about what somebody means elsewhere always, to me, falls short. Or let me put it this way. It's the wrong way to go. So when Deion Branch left, and he was a free agent, and he got his money from the Seattle Seahawks, and he went there, and he didn't do well. He didn't live up to the contract. Everybody said, Belichick's another genius. Look, another guy that left and wasn't worth the money. To me, it was much less about what Deion Branch was doing in Seattle. It was much more about the void and the hole that he left in New England, because they had to go out and try to replace him with flotsam and jetsam. And it basically took, I think they missed another kick at the can, because it took them a while, to a couple of years, to replace his productivity in there. So it was more about what he meant to the Patriots. Couldn't we make a similar argument about Danny Amendola? All last year, look at how many guys they shuffled in here. Jordan Matthews, on and on, and all these, Eric Decker, on and on, to try and replace Danny Amendola. Now, Danny Amendola wasn't Rob Gronkowski. Danny Amendola wasn't Julian Edelman. But he was part of Brady's top four or five receiver group, and it was sort of subtraction by subtraction. You know, they look what they had to do. So it's a similar argument.
I'm trying to get my head around subtraction by subtraction.
Well, there's no addition, because he wasn't added. He
got
was
it.
Subtracted.
Okay. Got it. Got
something
it.
Like that. It's Butchie logic. Just follow it, okay? It's in a Springsteen song somewhere. But isn't it more about what the guy meant to the team than what he did when he left here, as far as value? In other words,
when you're a Patriots fan looking at it right now, are you thinking about what he did when he left, or are you thinking about what he was when he was here?
Let me say it simply. Danny Amendola's value to the Patriots, especially at a price that the Patriots believe fits, is so much more than the value to anybody else. Because if he goes to free agency in the Jets, there's rumors that the Jets want to sign him, right? Mm-hmm. So Adam Gase, who brought him in Miami and knows his value, whatever it is down there, wants to bring him in to be a veteran presence in a locker room and a good slot receiver. Well, what's he going to pay him? He probably knows.
Well, they have money.
Well, but they do have money. So does he think it's worth $4 million guaranteed for Danny Amendola to bring him into that locker room? Belichick's not giving him $4 million guaranteed. It's going to be more like $2 million guaranteed with some possible incentives on a one-year deal. Or a longer deal that they can spread it out with maybe $6 million guaranteed over 3 years. And, you know.
Deion Branch had comments in, this is December, reading a Globe story. The headline is, it's Ben Bolin's Sunday Notes. Deion Branch wishes he had spent his entire career with the Patriots. And you know, he's basically talking wistfully about a broken relationship. You know, kind of this romanticizing, you know, why couldn't we have, what was it worth it? Was it worth separating? Couldn't we have made this work the way we wanted it to? Literally talking about like a failed marriage and the kind of thing that he wished he'd worked through rather than running away and gotten divorced. But as many Bruce Springsteen songs will show us, Butchie, you know, don't you run the risk sometimes of over-romanticizing some of the past a little bit?
Yeah, but where are you heading at, that Deion Branch was being disingenuous?
No, that this thought that everybody has once we're a couple years removed, that, well, you know, if Amendola had stayed, man, wouldn't it? It could have.
Well, you talk about how people feel about how those players feel, because
both, a little bit of both.
Well, let's talk about those players for a second. Why is it if it's disingenuous, or if it's if
not
you're
disingenuous? Well, he believes it.
Well, they all believe it.
Yeah,
Richard Seymour, Lawyer Malloy, you name it. Willie McGinnis, every single one of them when they left here. I mean, I know they drank the Kool-Aid in the air, but they weren't Jim Jones when they left. Mm-mm. They all regret to a degree leaving. They don't regret taking the money. You know, Mike Vrabel, don't forget, went to Kansas City after that, but still speaks glowingly about his time as a Patriot. But why is that? Because they realized it was something special. They realized, and even guys like Vrabel, Vrabel's trying to recreate it in Tennessee. They're all trying to recreate it because it was something special. And, you know, and Belichick was the leader of it, like it or not. You know, Nate Solder said this to me when he left. I got to know him pretty well. On the day he signed the contract, I did an interview with him afterwards, and I said, are you going to miss it here? I said, because it's not always easy. He goes, it was never easy. It's never easy under Bill Belichick. In other words, I took that to mean, would I rather have a day that he got all last year going to practice with the Giants where I didn't have to have my balls busted every single minute I came to work? Yeah. Well, be careful what you wish for, because he missed getting his balls busted and ending up in a Super Bowl again because of it. Again, to your point, Evan, it isn't the only way to win, okay? The Eagles lineman, what was his name?
Lane Johnson.
Was on to something. Duh, stop being a robot.
Totally was on to something.
Have some fun. Yeah. Do this now. Yeah, well, how much fun did those guys have in Atlanta at another Super Bowl? And where were the Eagles?
Yeah.
Like so many other Super Bowl teams that don't even get back to a playoffs. Hats off to them. They did get to the playoffs. But I don't know. It does work. Guys can come back. if they do come back at the right price, I'm sorry, that's a big part of it in football. This isn't baseball or basketball. You don't get the guaranteed money. You're not Manny Ramirez with a $160 million deal, and if you break your ankle the next day, you're still getting $160 million or $20 million that year. It doesn't work that way in these sports.
But if you gave anybody 5 years or 2 years, whatever amount of time, don't you just start to look back on the past a little bit more fondly and forget the parts that
sure you bothered, do.
Right, but that's what happens here, too, to some degree.
You want me to ask Patriots you a tough question?
Go for it.
When you look back at NBC Sports Boston, do you remember the fond
times?
Too
soon. Way too soon for that, Butchie, let me tell you.
Right.
Maybe at some point.
Yeah, but there are...
Maybe at some point you start to blame yourself. Maybe you start to say, man, I wasn't doing things the right way, and, you know... That my partner in that situation, my employer, they had it all right, and I should have figured it out and made it work because it was such a sweet marriage. Well, you look back on and glorify just being younger and different.
John,
times.
Feel free to insert some reflective, melancholy music underneath this conversation if you'd like. But you did have some good times there, didn't you?
Yeah.
But, and then you remember those.
But and with time, Butch, I will remember more of the good times than the bad, probably. Unless
so
I look
when
at
it comes
it
to Foxborough, now let's go to your point about the fans. And by the way, folks, chime in here if you'd like. 617-779-7937. Butch Stearns and Evan Drellick were here till 6 o'clock. When it comes to the fans, are you saying that the fans are drinking the Kool-Aid?
Totally.
Are you saying that? Well, but are you saying it's
by
a bad
gallon.
It's
They're
a bad
guzzling.
Thing?
Not a bad thing. It's just disconnected from reality. It's a little bit like a cult where you think that somebody strayed for a couple years and, you know, they've gone off and maybe I don't know, gotten a real job or decided not to be involved in this polygamy or whatever weird thing your cult's got going on. And then, you know, all of a sudden it's, well, they'd be better off.
So the same fans, because on social media last year when Danny left, as a matter of fact, when the playoffs started, I remember somebody put a picture on social media. I don't know where they got this, but it was Danny Amendola with a Dolphins jersey and there was a dumpster behind him. And he goes, it said, have fun in Miami selling your jerseys by a dumpster, Danny, while your old team is in the playoffs. That same guy that put that on social media will be welcoming him back with open arms.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
that,
and
so is that a bad
new
thing?
Gifts and new
is
GIFs.
Is that a bad thing?
Whatever. I don't know. Is it a, John, is it a GIF or a GIF?
It's both.
Well, what's the actual?
Well, as a IT minor, I was told that the people who invented it call it a GIF.
Right. I feel like for years I said GIF and then people started saying GIF more.
But when is G pronounced like a J?
Apparently in this instance.
You know, they're peanut butter fans. That's what it is.
So is that a bad thing that same guy who had him with the dumpster selling his jerseys is now going to welcome him back with a congratulations?
It's the fickleness of fandom. It's the silliness of either you're with us or you're not, and we'll dislike you if you're leaving us and ignoring every other element of the decision. If the player wants to get paid, he doesn't want to be part of the Patriots way anymore. No, he just wants to get the money. This is his livelihood. This is his chance at the American dream. Don't blame him for that.
So again, folks, do you want Danny Amendola back? Do you want Jamie Collins back? Does it work? Give us some examples.
As long as it works for the logo on the front of the jersey, not the back. That's what they care
That's
about.
That's right. Do you want them back in Foxborough? NFL free agency starts on Wednesday. We're going to take a quick break. Come back. We'll get into the Celtics, some of the drama out west last night and what's going on with them and more. Butch Stearns, Evan Drellick on WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
crank it up. The weekend's just got better. Let's return to more Butchin'
Evan Drake
on Sports Radio WEEI.
I did some coaching on the plane myself. Right. I help Coach Stevens with some coaching, but more or less just giving our spirit, right? You know, our energy, I think the rigors of the season could get to you a little bit. I myself was very frustrated. High expectations for myself and for my teammates, and we're not being up to that standard. I'm aware it on my shoulders. I'm a very passionate guy, and ultimate goal is to win a championship, and we got to do this every single night, and I got to show one guy from 1 to 15 that coming out here is a privilege. We have to earn it. It's not a privilege. We have to earn our right to come out here and play and compete. And when you get a chance to go against Bron or, the Lakers and anybody in this league, you want to play well.
Kyrie Irving, after last night's 13-point win against the Lakers in L.A., the Celtics' third win in a row on this road trip. They go to sweep the trip on Monday night in that same Staples Center when they play Doc Rivers and the Clippers. Celtics right now with 15 games left. Think about this. If it matters where they finish, they are the fifth seed. However, with 15 games left, eight on the road, starting on Monday night in L.A., and seven at home, they are the fifth seed, but they're only a half a game behind Philly for the fourth seed and a game and a half behind Indiana for the third seed. They're probably not going to get to the second seed with Toronto no matter what they do these final 15 games. They're six and a half games behind Toronto, and Toronto would have to play a, Toronto would have to go 5-10 while the Celtics go 10-5, basically, more or better to do that. So they're not going to get to the second seed. They may end up as the third seed. I guess the question is, clearly, if you've been watching these Celtics, and clearly since that plane ride that Kyrie just mentioned, they have flipped a switch. They're a different team. These three games are the team we thought, to quote Dennis Green, the old Arizona Cardinals coach, the Bears are who we thought they were. These are who we thought the Celtics were. It's unbelievable. They're a different team right now. So what type of hopes do you have for the Celtics? By the way, we'll get to your Patriots calls who are on the line right now in a second.
I got a question for you, Butch.
Yeah.
This plane ride, and we talked about it very briefly during the break. Do you sit there and go, well, yeah, they got on a plane, and they talked a little bit, and all of a sudden everything is hunky-dory. That's it. That's all you needed. That's all everybody needed was just to get together in a closed flying object through the air for a couple hours, and they remembered how to play basketball again. Is that what I, the reader, the consumer, the avid Celtics fan, is supposed to believe?
Well, my answer to you would just be the eye test. I don't know if it was the plane ride. That's what everybody's talking about.
Isn't that how it's being positioned?
No, but that plane ride means squat if they didn't come out and play the way they did against Golden State.
Right.
And then follow it up with the way they played against Sacramento. And by the way, Kyrie didn't play in that game, and Gordon Hayward looked the best he's been. And like his agent, Mark Bartlestein, said on this radio station a while ago, he's not going to be right till next year.
No, he looks pretty right now.
Well, he's also having ups and downs. He's still not, the Sacramento game to me was one of his most impressive just because of this. It was a back-to-back.
Yeah.
And with the guy with his health. So I don't know if my answer to your question, I don't know if it was the plane ride or not, but I do know that the way they played on the court, something changed. Something changed. All of a sudden, this team that hated each other, Kyrie Irving, who's the most miserable person in the world, according to Charles Barkley and others, all of a sudden, he's a team leader. They respect each other. I don't know what
Fred's... It's amazing how quickly that flip switches, right?
It almost
strains credulity and belief, Butch, to believe that it could just be that simple.
But my answer to because they're playing well, and they're playing unbelievable. I don't know. You have to have high hopes for the Celtics right now because wherever they finish, whether it's third or second or first, third, fourth, or fifth, it doesn't matter. That's less significant. They can beat Milwaukee or Toronto on the road. They'll have to. But if they play this way as a team, they're as good as any team in the East. So something happened on that plane, Evan. I don't know what it is.
Here's the Al Horford quote. It's the end of the Jay King story in The Athletic, which is a good story. You should check it out. You should subscribe to The Athletic if you do not. I'm a believer in paying for the journalism you enjoy and we talk about and consume and all that. This is Horford talking about the flight. It's a long flight across the country. Everybody's getting their headphones on or whatever. And Irving just started talking, and then he was like, hey, let's play cards. And we just got to talking. I just think that his energy and all that, that kind of brought us together as a group. And that carried over to the practice the next day in San Francisco, which I thought was a really good one. And then that shoot-around before the game was really good as well, really focused. But it all started with the plane ride. I think in our pea brains, in the players' pea brains, in the media's pea brains, we just put a little too much stock into something like a plane ride.
Yeah, but Al Horford's telling you there was a card game. He's not telling you what went on in that card game. Maybe there was a lot of gambling done in that card game. Maybe Kyrie did something where he became self-effacing or showed some humility or worse. Or not worse, but different. Maybe he, on the other side of it, went at somebody. Maybe he punched Gordon Hayward in the eye, and that's where he got the black eye. I don't know.
Al Horford and the media are aligned in one thing in this. I think everybody involved, everybody watching the
that
Celtics.
That something happened on that plane that was significant.
You're searching for something easy. You're searching for, well, what changed? Well, something had to have changed, right? I mean, we've started playing better, so something had to have changed. Oh, it's got to be the flight. And then everybody just goes, oh, yeah, that makes sense, and then walks away. And it's just the easiest explanation you could put out there that, yeah, you played a game of freaking pinochle on the flight, and all of a sudden the Celtics are a world champion basketball team again.
God, you are so jaded.
I mean,
it was the NBC Sports Boston question asking
probably.
To look back. You are so jaded.
No, it's narrative, Butch. It's just how much narrative, how much we've both.
So you're not forced, buying it.
I don't buy nearly that simply, though. No. I think everybody.
I could care less about the plane ride. I could care more about the way they're playing. They're fun to watch right now. They are really fun to watch.
That's true.
To the phones we go. Butch and Evandrelic. We start with Joe in Tampa Bay. Hello, Joe.
I want to say something about the Celtics, but first I want to say they don't want Danny Amendola. They need Danny Amendola because there isn't five people on the whole planet that Bill Belichick trusts to catch punts, and they need to get Edelman out of catching punts.
That's true.
He's too valuable on the offense. So they're going to get Danny Amendola, and he's going to catch the punts, and Edelman can...
So wait a minute. Evan, this is one of your guys. This is Joe, who, you know, you can come home again. This is the guy who, when he comes back into this system, it all is well with the world. Danny drinks the Kool-Aid. You got to go at Joe here. You think these guys are nuts.
Does Joe feel this way?
Joe's right
the
there.
Money?
You can talk about, to Joe.
No, it's about them.
You don't
Joe,
have to talk
how
about
much
him.
Is it he comes back as long as it fits into our budget, or it's, we need him, we'll pay him whatever it takes to get him?
No, he'll come back and he'll fit in their budget like he's always done.
Well, he didn't do it last year.
That's my point. So as long as it works for the budget, it's okay. As long as it works for the team's outlook.
The problem with the Celtics was, and it was evident in the game against Houston, everybody was standing around watching out. Kyrie wondering if he's going to take the lead. And Kyrie was trying to give the ball away, trying to get other guys involved. People on this team didn't know their roles. And part of the problem is they have so many good players, it's hard to mix in that many good players. But they've defined the team as Kyrie is the lead guy, and everybody else can be aggressive behind that. Their roles have been defined now.
Yeah, but when did that happen, to Evan's point? Was that a conversation on the plane? Hey, we got to start following Kyrie, guys.
Well,
I'll tell you what. They were playing cards. Did they bet it on one hand? Said, if Kyrie wins this hand, we start following him.
No, that doesn't matter. That's not about, it's not about playing cards. It's about people defining their role.
Yeah, but why did it take 65 games to do it?
You don't think they ever talked about their roles before?
Yeah, why did it take 60?
To the West Coast?
Why did all of a sudden the huge?
Because they're trying to work in a guy coming off a big injury. They're trying to work in eight guys in a rotation. They're trying to work in a lot of good players who want time.
Yeah, but Joe, you brought up the Houston game. Since the Houston game, it's Jekyll and Hyde. This is a whole different team. I mean, like Evan said,
What? They have now found the team that they want to be.
They looked under the couch cushion and they found it, like a quarter or nickel.
No, it's not about that. It's about a mental. It's about a mental approach. Kyrie's the leader of the team, like he was the other night, and everybody else can play aggressive, can feel comfortable playing aggressive. They don't have to feel like they're taking Kyrie's plays away from him. And everybody can be aggressive, and guys are going to have great nights on different nights. Like Gordon Hayward can feel free to go to the hoop, and so can the Jason and the other young players. They can be aggressive. You know, Kyrie's the lead. Now, this is the team they're going to be the rest of the year.
All right. Thanks for the call, Joe.
Guarantee from Joe in Tampa Bay.
Here's what I'm interested about. I am interested in Monday night's game, but it wouldn't surprise me if they lose because they're playing so well. They're expected to win. And Doc Rivers and just all of it, if they lost, it's still a great trip. It's 3-1. And again, it's more about how they play than if they win the game. But here's what I'm interested in this week. Thursday, so they play Monday night. They're off Tuesday, Wednesday. They fly back. I'd like to be on that plane on the flight back. Maybe it all changes.
What do you think they got going, hearts?
Yeah.
But, war is too simple.
Hope it's not strip
poker. We can position that as bonding. We if they play strip poker on that plane, we're an accepting society today. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's just the way the team wanted to get together and better understand each other.
They come home. They play Sacramento Thursday night. They play Atlanta Saturday night Saturday afternoon at the Garden. By the way, folks, Saturday, March 16th, a week from yesterday, 12:30 game at the Garden, afternoon matinee if you're looking for a good take. Monday, they play Denver. So they have three games at home. I'm curious how they play at home, considering, don't forget, the last home game they had was Houston, which was, at the time,
they're
a defining
come back
moment.
To a rousing ovation.
Well, no, I just wonder how they're going to react, how fans are going to react. I know how fans are going to react. They're going to react based on how the team plays. If Kyrie Irving leads the way, pulls his jersey, but feeds Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Terry Rozier, and they act like a team, fans are going to respond, and rightfully so. But they've done all this on the road. So don't you agree that, again, if they're going to win in the playoffs, how the atmosphere, how they play at the Garden, it's got to be an important part of it, doesn't it?
Yeah. So let's set it up now. Let's say they get back home and they don't play well. What are we going to say?
Well, my point.
By the way, teams, whether they have great card games or not, go on runs. They play well, they don't play well. So then we're going to have to sit there and go, something's wrong again. All right, so what's wrong now? Well, it's got to be Kyrie Irving's wrong again. Something Kyrie did, or we'll find some other scapegoat. Maybe
Gordon
Hayward.
Comes with the territory.
That's the
David Price argument. The Red Sox suck because they're an unlikable team. David Price is their leader.
I do think they were somewhat unlikable in 2017. I do think there are people who
But the Kyrie thing was the David Price thing, wasn't it? People pointed to the sourpuss, dour David Price and his influence on the team, even though anybody that's covered baseball knows that a pitcher isn't really the leader of your team. He can be, but it's usually a position player. A big part of the Red Sox, I don't want to go off on this tangent, but I think you would agree, a big part of the Red Sox winning the World Series was replacing Ortiz with J.D. Martinez, who became a personality, and Mookie, Xander, Jackie, Andrew, and other guys, your best players, finding themselves and becoming leaders. Your best players have to be part of your leaders. Or said differently, if your best players are your leaders, it's best for your team, isn't it? And I think that's what happened with the Red Sox.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of truth in the middle there, because that 2017 group, which I was around plenty, Butch, I don't think I have any problem saying now, and I probably don't think I had a problem then. They were miserable.
Yeah.
They were cranky, immature, miserable, incredibly talented baseball players.
So again,
we had plenty of callers into this station saying they don't seem likable. And maybe that's because we in the media would amplify certain things. Fine. That's partly
true.
But
back to Kyrie. You brought up a good point. We got to take a break. We'll come back, get right to your calls. Jim, Ann, and Glenn, you guys are next. Back to Kyrie. Isn't it possible that at 26 years old, he's really just done some self-evaluation?
Yes.
And said, you know, if I'm going to be a leader, why don't I act like it? I actually know someone that's had some conversations with people very, very close to him. And he's asked a lot of questions. He's asked himself a lot of questions. I think Kyrie's a very bright guy. I think Charles Barkley was wrong. I don't think he's as miserable as he's made himself out to be. I don't know why he acted the way he did. I think looking back on it, somebody might have showed him video of his 30-second post-game press conferences and says, look at yourself. Look at how much of an idiot you look like. And maybe he did some self-evaluation and said that. Hey, what am I doing? I'm going to be the leader of the team. What example am I setting by doing this? I mean, David Ortiz, to his credit, never did that.
Self-awareness is rare, right? Yeah, self-awareness isn't something a lot of people naturally have. You and I have it in droves.
Especially when every single person has an opinion about you, when you're a public figure like him, and millions of fans have an opinion about him.
Trying to discount the Kyrie Irving growth factor, and we can explore more of that.
Quick break, and we're back with more Right to Your Calls with Butch and Evan Drake right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
talk socks and more right now. 617-779-7937. Weekends rule even more with Butch and
Evan Drake
on Sports Radio WEEI.
Kyrie Irving, I don't know him that well. He seems like a good kid, but I've never seen a person so miserable. To have so much success, to have the world in the palm of his hands, he's going to make $40, $50 million a year for the next 10, 15 years. He's already won a world championship. He's in movies. But he's got to be one of the most miserable people I've ever seen.
Charles Barkley could curse you out and still go and have a TV gig and all of this stuff. Kyrie Irving is in a different situation. He's playing. He's approaching free agency. I'm not saying he doesn't say the wrong things. And I'm not saying that he doesn't come across that way. But that's his demeanor. We used to say it about Kobe because Kobe didn't know how to have a good time. Kyrie Irving may not be miserable at all. He might be miserable having to talk to the media, but he might not be miserable in any other way.
That's pretty good nuance right there from Stephen A. Smith, actually.
It's pretty good producing by John Anderson right there.
I'm very high on John Anderson. I got high hopes for John Anderson.
Do you? Got to have high hopes for the Celtics, though. How can you not with what they've done? I know it's only three games. Three games does not a season make, Evan Drake.
I didn't know that.
It is not.
I thought everything was great to go now.
But it could make a team. We could be looking back, Danny from Quincy, at another parade. Danny hates when I talk about parades. We could look.
Oh, is he the one who just hates parades?
Yeah.
Period? That's weird. That's a weird one.
I get
one.
Under his skin when I say, oh, they had a parade. Instead of saying, they won a championship. They raised another banner.
How many? You know what always bugs me?
When are you going to learn that?
it's calling a pitcher a hurler. When you say somebody's hurling.
Don't get me started with the nuance. How about a keeper?
That's not even nuance. Goalkeeper. Just don't call
keeper.
Him a hurler.
He's
hurler.
A keeper.
Use hurler in the air when you're doing a
netminder.
Really,
he's a good netminder.
No, this is a goalie. Be done with it. You're done. That's it.
All right, back to the phones. We go to Jim in Connecticut. Hello, Jim.
Hey, guys. A couple things, and then I got a quick compliment for you, Butchie, if there's time.
You can start with the compliment if you'd like.
Okay, here's the compliment. The compliment is that, for me, sports radio is...
About like sports? About sports?
Number one, about sports, and about a bunch of guys standing around a bar talking about sports, listening to each other's opinions, and I think you embody that on the station more than...
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I was doing the same thing at 2 o'clock in the morning at my favorite haunt last night, and having the conversation with the same people that this is when radio's good.
Butch Stern's regular guy.
Absolutely. Yep. So I got two things. One on the Celtics and one on the Patriots. First off, Siobhan is my sister.
Siobhan...
Siobhan.
Oh, yeah.
And Siobhan is my sister. So,
oh, awesome. One of my favorite people in the world.
She's, yeah, mine too.
Is this somebody I should know?
So, no, because her husband wouldn't want you to know her.
This is me and Butchie. So as far as the Celtics...
No, nobody else is listening. Don't worry about it.
remember in 2007 when the Red Sox were struggling a little bit at the beginning of the playoffs, and David Ortiz had that moment in the dugout where he grabbed everybody by the scruff of their shirts, and then they went back to being who they were and went all the way. And I think that's sort of what this moment was on the plane for the Celtics. I think they're going to go to the finals. I don't know if they'll win, but I think they'll go to the finals because of that. I think that sometimes you just need something to kind of smack them upside the head and flip the switch, and then they go back.
So do you think they're going to go? If you think they're going to the finals, Jim, then I got to believe you believe two important things. Number one is that they can beat Milwaukee and Toronto on the road because they're going to have to do that. Maybe both of them. That's number one. And number two, you believe that because they really have flipped a switch and these three games are indicative of the team that we thought they were all along, right?
Yes, yes. Now, of course, as you said...
He's drinking the green Kool-Aid, Evan. See?
They're going to... No, I don't drink the Kool-Aid. I'm just going based on what I see and the gut feeling that I have with it. So,
yeah, I do too. I honestly believe that. I've been watching these games, and they're a different team. They're a completely different team.
Jim, the only thing this is where I get. This is the same thing as the card game. You don't think grabbing the jersey and a little dugout shake up. We've heard that thousands of times.
Yeah, but what about when it doesn't work?
How do you know it worked, Butch?
By the results. So far, so good.
Yeah.
What if they just started hitting better? Like,
you're so caught up in what they did and what the moment was.
Look, my job for years now, and Butch is to an extent,
is to
been
be
about
the
narrative.
Beat writer
no,
that
it's
we
day-to-day
all hate.
Day-to-day narrative, but you got to step back at some point and be like, hold on a second. Hold on. we're just getting this basic explanation for why all of a sudden everything changed, and everybody accepts it because it's easy to swallow.
No, everybody's
it's the great flavored chewable Tylenol.
Evan, you're missing the key point. Everybody accepts it because they're proving it.
Is it correlation and causation?
It isn't magic, Evan. They took a step back and they kind of regrouped a bit, reset the attitude, and went at it again.
All right, so the next time Joe Zarbano's in here, this happens to everything. So this radio station, let's just say, give this an example. If one of us played a card game with our fearless program director, and maybe somebody shook him by the collar of the neck, all of a sudden everything would get straightened out here. The place would be running smoothly and perfectly, and we'd be a championship team just like the 07.
Have you played cards with Joey?
Not recently. That's the problem.
He cheats.
It requires a buy-in. Everybody has to buy into the mindset.
Right.
If the players don't buy in, then it isn't. They just, whatever was said, whatever happened, it was all the gears meshed, and everybody was able to buy in on the plane.
Well, if they start losing again, do they lose the buy-in? What happens if they start losing again, Jim?
No, they'll lose. It's not if they lose. It's how they play. If they play well and they lose, then they don't have to go undefeated in order to be a successful team through the playoffs. For the rest of the season,
right?
They'll just keep playing what they're playing. They'll stick to the plan that they came up with that night. They'll stick with the same attitude that they all decided they were going to have, and they'll be successful in the long run. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
So, Jim, before you go, it says here you want Amendola back, but not Jamie Collins.
Yeah, I think Amendola. They allowed him to leave because he wanted more money. No one, including Belichick, is going to fault him for that. But they got rid of Jamie Collins.
True,
because he's a cowboy and he did things his own way. Despite being told repeatedly to do things the Patriots
don't you hate individuality? I hate individuality. God, it sucks.
That's right. It's a system, baby. Got to play with the team.
Thanks for the call, Jimmy. Say hello to Siobhan for me.
I'll see her in a couple hours.
All right, take care.
Give her my best as well.
Evan Drake says hello. The Collins thing, I wouldn't be surprised if they brought him back. Again, if it fits and he comes in the budget and he wants to come back here, I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back, and I wouldn't be surprised if Belichick brought him back. And I wouldn't be surprised if, like Patrick Chung, when he went to Philadelphia and realized the grass wasn't greener for a bunch of different reasons, came back here and has become the sort of leader, definitely a leader, if not the leader of that defense, and has like come back and been like, the guy that young players look to, the guys that veterans look to. I'm not sure if Jamie Collins is that same type of character, but it wouldn't shock me if that happened with Jamie Collins, is my point. It wouldn't. It's been done before.
This is, if I've got my math right, my third time being around the WEEI airwaves when Patriots free agency and NFL free agency have gotten underway, because it was sometime around this time, 2 years ago, so 2017, 2018, now 2019, when I first had my blow up with Manhattan, whatever. The point is this. Every year I've done this now, first 2 years, and I've been on the radio and talked about Patriots free agency, whatever we ended up talking about had absolutely
nothing to
no
do with what happened.
Bearing, right. No connection, no semblance of an idea of what the Patriots were thinking, which strikes me as someone who's a lifetime baseball guy, where a lot of times we do get word ahead of time. And I think I probably made this point with you before or other people, but we have no more than other sports, and it kind of turns me off a little bit. We have no idea what the Patriots are thinking.
True.
Ever. Nobody. How many times do you really get a sense of what Patriots personnel are ahead of time?
I think, you know, I disagree a little bit. I mean, last year we knew they needed a tackle, so they used a first round pick on one who
but
never played
a big
tackle
argument
in college,
last
and then
year,
they signed and they went out and got Trent Brown.
We were arguing last year about how they should use the draft picks. They have all these different holes.
Right.
Which would you want to use it on the end? Do you want to use it to fill up your the different defensive problems you got?
But one of the things we forget is free agency and the draft work to get Coney Healy, a second round draft pick, cut before the season start. But so many other guys, Kyle Van Noy, Trent Brown, the tight end who just left, Dwayne Allen, just on and on and on. I'll look it up
in the
break.
You know why Coney Ealy didn't work out, right, Butch? He didn't want to play cards. Bill Belichick said, let's sit down, play a game of blackjack. 21, where Coney Ealy's from. They had a little miscommunication about the name of the game. And, you know, it didn't work out from there because they didn't play cards.
Let's go to Ann from East Dennis, who's been hanging on. Ann, what's on your mind?
Hi, guys. Nice to chat with you. I have a comment on something that Evan said a while back about Boston fans, but I also have a compliment for you too, Butch.
Let the compliments keep coming.
So is it a criticism of me plus a compliment of Butch? I mean, just really dig it in, Ann.
I know. But I have a comment on the last compliment that was made.
Oh, wow. This is getting complicated.
It's so complicated. So Jim from Connecticut just made a comment on his compliment that it feels like it's a Boston sports bar when he listens to you, like he's with all the guys hanging around talking sports. Hey, Jim. Tell Jim, there's a lot of girls that like to do that as well.
Oh, yes. Like, the gender.
Yeah.
Yes. Brought in with it. Yes.
Yeah. And my girls and I, we like to watch sports. And we're big.
My daughters do too. I get it. Ann.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes it might even be in a bar. But back to Evan.
Oftentimes
Evan
it is.
About, Evan made a comment about half an hour ago about Boston fans being really upset when our players leave us for money, and that we should be.
It's not just Boston fans, to be clear. It's fandom in general. It's just this feeling of allegiance that you think the players should have to the city and the town. But where's the? Go ahead.
I think Boston fans are more so than probably others. But I mean it's hard. We're like family. I mean, when they leave us, I guess we understand it for the money, but
that's the difference. Do you understand why he's leaving you?
Yeah, we do, but we don't have to like it.
You're getting deep now.
Hey, hold on.
If it'll make you both happier in the end.
So wait a minute. Ann, go back. You obviously have something in mind here. Give us an example of a Boston player who left but all was forgiven or maybe wasn't forgiven when he came back.
Not forgiven. Johnny Damon. When Johnny Damon left us, he came back in pinstripes. I was at that game at Fenway.
Right.
When he came back wearing pinstripes, and you bet we booed him.
Yep.
And Dan Shaughnessy wrote something, I think, the next day in the paper about how awful we were.
Right.
There's nothing worse than sitting at Fenway, seeing one of your beloved players that got you to the World Series.
Yeah, tell me if you agree with this. If Johnny Damon came back as an Oriole, a Ray, or a Blue Jay, he would not have been booed.
Yeah, no.
Right.
Well, here's the question.
The reason he was booed on that day was because he was wearing pinstripes, because he went to the Yankees.
Damon was pissed off at the organization.
Damon got $11 million more from the Yankees than the Red Sox were willing to give him.
But that bothered
him. What would you do?
It bothered him. Here's a scenario that would have been interesting. If the final year of Damon's career, he had come back as a non-roster invitee and they gave him a day on the team. How would Red Sox, he would have gotten the loudest of it because it would have been enough time
and passed. He's still cheered when he comes back now.
Of course. Yes, because you're
Red
all
Sox
fickle, simple-minded.
Because he was a big part of winning a championship. And by the way, ended up being a big part of the Yankees winning a championship, too.
Just like Jacoby Ellsbury.
Yikes. 1 hour down. This says 5:02. Yeah, 1 hour down. 2 hours to go. I'm all confused. It's 4:02.
Ben set the clocks back. Or forward.
My computer's connected to the. Oh no! It's my computer's right. The major screen in front of the radio host that is run by the station is not right.
Don't fear, Evan Drake is here.
Looking over
we have
here,
two cold, more hours
looking
over to
the go. Blaming me. Well, you're only a stink eye. Clocks are wrong. I have nothing to do with that.
Quick break, and we're back with more on Butch and Drellick.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.